Welcome to the Nations Church Port Kennedy podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Incredible. Well, Vision Sunday, part two. Vision Sundays are significant days. If you missed last week, make sure you catch up on what our senior pastor, Ken Lee, shared last week about believe. Believe. It's going to be the word that you're going to hear this year. Believe. That God has called us to believe in Him. God has called us to believe who He is, and God has called us to believe for greater things. You need to hear that word, and maybe you need to hear it again. And if you were away last week, also, we had these cool little Vision Sunday packs. If you missed out, they're on the giving station at the back. Make sure you grab one on the way out. But in his Vision Sunday message, Pastor Ken shared the journey of Nations Church to this year. Our 21st year as a church. Sounds like we're coming of age, right? He shared how the first decade of Nations Church was a decade of pioneering, how the second decade was a decade of establishing, and that we've had these two decades, pioneering and establishing, and we believe that at the start of this new decade, this is going to be a decade of acceleration. That this is the decade of acceleration. And I'm just going to read you what Pastor Ken prophesied over us last week. He said, "This won't be the work of man. We're going to play our part to steward it, but it will be a sovereign work of God. We're truly going to see an acceleration in the lost, found, disciples made, and nations reached." That God loves a broken humanity, and the kingdom of God is advancing, and His Spirit is moving, and He wants to prepare us for His return. He's coming for a strong and healthy and advancing bride. Our six WA campuses and our Phnom Penh and Court campuses are not going to be where it stops for us. In fact, those eight physical locations are just the foundation. They are just the establishment. It's like the Lord spent the first 10 years designing the car, the next 10 making it, and the coming 10, we're all going to go on the most incredible ride ever with Jesus. Come on, you've got to give an amen to that. Praise God. Hey? Praise God. But why does this prophetic word and the vision of the house matter to you today? Because it matters to you today because if you are part of this house, if you planted yourself here, whether you've been here for 2 weeks or 2 years or 20 years, although we haven't been here that long, you were here before we were. If you've chosen to plant yourself in this house, the vision of the house flows into what's happening into your life. It's called coming under anointing or coming under covering. That vision of acceleration is going to be what's about to happen in your family and what's about to happen in your life. So get ready. Buckle up. Let's go. Yeah, God has a prophetic vision for this house that is going to impact your life. And my prayer here is that here today, you're not just here for the cute Vision Sunday pack. You're not just here for the donuts. But you're here because you believe that you and your family are called to kingdom significance. And this is activated and released through the local vision of the local church. So if you're planted here, I want to encourage you to choose to take hold of what God is doing here. Allow it to challenge you. Allow it to transform you from the inside out. And get ready to see the acceleration of what God wants to do in your family, wants to do in your life. So I'm going to share this vision I'm sensing for our campus for this year and beyond. Leading this campus has been and continues to be a great privilege for myself and Mark. At the end of August this year, it's our 10th anniversary as a Nations Church Port Kennedy. Yeah. How awesome is that? And as I prepared this word, I considered how what we experience in our church today has been 10 years in the making. As I considered that, I had to correct myself because I believe that God saw this a lot longer, long before we did. Long before we stepped into it. He saw it back before the early 2000s when a couple on the east coast of Australia had a vision to plant a church in the west. He saw it back in 2005 when that couple, Pastor Ian and Denise Weaver, planted Mid-Coast City Church in the city of Rockingham. He saw it in 2015 when Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee brought that church into the Nations Church family, and we became a Nations campus, and Mark and I started to lead that campus. And he saw it in 2016 when Pastor Steve and Jackie Griffiths and the good people of Lighthouse Church came in and made this church their home. He saw it when you needed a place to call home. He saw it when your family needed a place to grow in faith and be discipled in the things of God. He saw it when you needed to find a place to be released in your purpose. He saw this church long before we wanted it and long before we needed it. And so what you sit in here today at Nations Church Port Kennedy has been predestined and outworked by the power of God and a lot of faithful people who've given themselves to follow and serve his kingdom purpose. Praise God. And if you've been here for the long haul, you've just come in the last few weeks, Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee and Mark and I, we're so glad to be on this journey with you. If you're new here, welcome. If you feel called here, plant yourself here. Be all in. Don't just drift in and out, but make it a priority to make this place your home and be planted. So like I said, we became a Nations Church campus 10 years ago. On Sunday, the 30th of August, 2015. That was our first Sunday as Nations Church, Port Kennedy. We had 117 people in attendance on that day, 86 adults, 31 kids. Pastor Ken Lee keeps the best statistics you would ever know. He's amazing. So over that time, over the last almost 10 years, we've seen this gradual growth, this upward trajectory. In 2024, these are some of the things that we saw in 2024. We saw an average Sunday attendance of 267 people last year. Come on, we can praise God. We love our church family. We're grateful for our church family. In 2024, we saw 109 new people come through the doors of our church here in Port Kennedy. 39 salvations. 30 water baptisms, praise God, you know, and just to put that in perspective, in 2023, we had 8 water baptisms across the year. God is doing something. In 2024, our average kids attendance was 56. Our average youth attendance was 30. We're excited for what God is doing in our next generation. We had 13 adult Connect groups and over 100 people attending Connects every fortnight across our church. In 2024, we also saw 80 to 100 people attending our fortnightly playgroup, and we gave out 1,170 food hampers to our community in 2024. Praise God for the year that we've had. But even now, just now in February, as we've started 2025, we've had this sense of momentum, this sense of acceleration. It was like we hit January running. Like God was just doing something right from the outset. In January, our attendance went from 270 a week to over 300. Come on. Some of you, that's you right there, right? Our youth ministry has grown from 30 attending to 40. Our kids ministry from 56 to 68. God is moving and building his church. God is moving and building his church. And I've just shared a whole lot of numbers with you. But I tell you what, this is not about the numbers. This is about the lives changed. Every number represents an individual, a couple, a family who are coming into a life of faith, who are catching the heart of what God wants to do here, who are being discipled and growing in the things of God, who are finding faith and finding home. Every number represents a person. We are not about numbers, but this just shows you what God is doing, right? This shows you that there is momentum building, that there is an acceleration happening. And this is not about us sounding good or sounding great. We can't and we don't take the credit for anything, right? This is all the glory to God. He is the one who is doing this. And so today on this part two of our Vision Sundays, I'm going to speak to you on this thought, believe in the God of more. Believe in the God of more. And we're going to look at a conversation between God and Abraham in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 1 to 6. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram had said, look, you've given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but the one who will come from your own body will be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. And he believed in the Lord and he accounted it to him for righteousness. God comes to Abram here and promises him protection and reward. And soon as Abram hears that word reward, he comes straight back at God questioning what God was talking about. You notice that? Abraham like, yeah, God, right, but I'm waiting for this child. I'm believing for this child. I've been asking for this child. He's worried about this child because you see, him and Sarah were in their old age. They were way past ever being able to, in the natural, have a child. And he was concerned that everything God had blessed him with, everything that God had done in him would get passed down to his head servant, which was the legal right if he had no children of his own. So God addresses Abram's question about the promise for a child, and he reassures him that he will fulfill the promise, that Abram will have a child of his own. But God does not stop there. Although he's responded to Abram's question, he then takes it further. He brings Abram outside and he continues to speak. And what I want to suggest to you today is that God brings Abram outside to look at the stars, to look up, not just to elaborate on the promise, but also to address an issue in Abram. You see, there was no problem in Abram's concern or his request about having a child. God knew Abram's heart and his desire for an heir. But God was bringing Abram outside to look up at the stars to address this deeper issue. What God was correcting in Abram was his perception of who God was. You see, Abram was believing and requesting from God, coming to a God who he believed would be able to provide him for a child. And God says to Abram, God takes him outside and shows him the stars because he was far more than the God who could and would provide him and Sarah with a child. He was bringing Abram outside because what Abram was believing for, while it was significant, was small in comparison to what God desired to do. You see, God had a plan and a purpose that was even greater than Abram's immediate need and desire. He had a plan and a purpose that he had eternal kingdom ramifications for humanity. You see, what Abram was believing for was restricted by his perception of who God was. By calling Abram to come outside and look at the stars, God was showing Abram that he was coming to a God who was not just the God of one child, but he was the God of many generations. He was the God of so much more than what Abram was believing for. And this is what I believe God is calling us to this year, Nations Church Port Kennedy, is that we would start to expand our ability to believe in God. That we would believe him not just for the small, just for the one thing, but we would believe God for the more. That we believe God for more than we could ask, more than we could think, more than we could imagine. Paul says, describes God like this in Ephesians 3:20. He says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And this is what I want to submit to you today, that God is inviting us to come outside of our circumstances and our perception of who we think God is, to look up, to have our perspective of God realigned to who he is, so that we can believe for more, so that we can believe for greater. You see, God is better than we think. God is greater than we think. God has more than we think. So we need to change the way we think. We need to believe for more. We need to believe for more so that you're not just, If you're out there today and you are believing for a job, I want to encourage you to believe for more. I want to encourage you that you're not just believing in a God who wants to provide you with employment, but you're believing for a God who desires to position you to share the gospel in that company or that business or that place that will enable you to finance your family, but maybe even finance the kingdom. That you're not just believing for your business to do well, but you're believing in the God who desires that your business will have a kingdom influence in this community and facilitate God's purposes in this city. That you're not just believing for your children to do well, but you're believing in a God who desires for generations of people fulfilling their God-given purpose. That you're not just believing for your family to be restored, but you're believing in the God who desires for them to be carriers of revival, that signs and wonders and miracles would happen at their hand. And in the same way, we're not just believing this year, that God has called us to be a quiet little church at the southern end of Rockingham. But we're believing in the God who desires us to be a church of influence, who desires us to be a church who stewards revival, who desires us to be a big church that carries a big heart for this city and its people. Come on, you got to praise God for that. This is what we're believing for this year. God's calling us outside and he says, start believing in me. I am the God of the more. I am the God of the greater. I am the God that can do more than you can ask, think, or imagine. It's time for us to believe in the God of the more, that he desires to do big things in this city, that he desires to do big things through our church, not because we're awesome, but because he's awesome. And he has a plan and a purpose for this city that we have been called to steward. You see, when God revealed to Abraham who he was and his plan for more for Abraham's family and the generations to come, that scripture tells us that Abraham believed in the Lord. This is such a simple statement, but it reveals so much about Abram, that he had believed in God when what God promised was so far removed from Abram's actual circumstances. He chose to believe in God when he had no child. He chose to believe in God that he would have descendants that numbered as numerous as the stars when he hadn't even had one child yet. He chose to believe in the big picture, the God of the more, even when in his physical, natural reality, nothing in that spoke of what God was going to do. Nothing in his reality revealed what God was going to do. It was simply the word of God that came to him that he chose to believe in. And in his letter to the Romans, Paul explains how Abram, later known as Abraham, came to this incredible belief. In Romans 4:18, Paul writes this. He says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. You see, Abram faced the facts that in the natural, they had no hope. But he did not waver, because he did not place his faith in his own body. He didn't place his faith in Sarah's body. He did not place his faith in their own ability to produce a child. Instead, the scripture tells us that he was fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. He was fully persuaded. You see, the provision of the greater thing that God had pointed Abram to was never going to come about because of Abram's ability. It was going to come about because of God's. And it's the same for us today. What God desires for you and your family, the acceleration, what God desires for this house, it's not going to come about because of our own ability. While we do need to steward it well, while we still need to do the things that need to be done, It's going to come about because of God's ability. It's going to come about because of his supernatural power and ability at work in us and at work through us. That's how it's going to come about. You see, as he stood out under the stars, Abraham believed because he had this revelation of who God was, the almighty, powerful God of them all, the one who would do greater things. This is what believing is. It is facing the facts of our natural circumstances, yet remaining fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he had promised. It is believing in the power of our God to heal even when we're unwell. It's believing for salvation of that child even when they're going in the other direction. It's believing for the marriage to be restored when you're constantly living in that tension. It's believing to overcome the brokenness in your life even when that anxiety is debilitating. It is being fully persuaded that God has the ability to do what he has promised. When we look at the meaning of that phrase, fully persuaded, in our Romans 4 text, it seems we can take the surface meaning, which means to be fully assured or fully certain of God's power. And it does mean that. That is what it means. But there is even a deeper meaning to this text, to the original Greek of this word. They see the phrase fully persuaded in the New Testament Greek is the word plerophorio, which means bearing the work of God to the fullest extent. Bearing the work of God to the fullest extent. It means being fully persuaded by God is believing in him, but it's not just about having this inner confidence or assurance, but it's actually living out our lives from that conviction. It takes us further than just an acknowledgement internally that says, yes, I believe, to actually living it out, actually seeing it outworked in our lives. You see, believing in God for Abraham was not just how he felt inside. It informed how he lived his life. It looks like this. Believing in God for healing is not just an internal assurance for us that he's our healer, but it means that we now bear the work of God. It means that we now live in that conviction. So when we are sick or we see someone who's sick, we pray for healing. We declare scriptures over our bodies until they are healed. It's believing that God is the God of generations. And if we carry that belief, it's not just an internal assurance, but we start to live out from that conviction. We choose to champion the younger generation around us. We choose to spur them on. We do it here at our church. We have that belief, but we live out the conviction. We invest in the next generation. We volunteer, we create programs and ministries and spaces that will facilitate encounters with Jesus and discipleship in the things of God. Believing that God is the God of revival is not just a belief we carry in our hearts, but we bear the work of God. We live out that conviction. We pray for revival to come to our city. We go to campus prayer. We meet with our Connect group and we pray. We seek to understand the gospel. We tell others about Jesus. You see, being fully persuaded by God but not living out the conviction is like having a ticket for a flight but never boarding the plane. You believe the ticket is valid. You trust the plane will take you to your destination. But if you never step on the plane, you are going to remain where you are and you will never experience what the journey is going to do in you. We need to take our belief from an internal assurance to a lived out conviction. That's what God is calling us to do this year. You see, God has more for us, Nations Church, Port Kennedy. God has more for Rockingham. God has more for you and your family. God has more for your Connect group. And God desires for us to start to live from a place of conviction that infects how we live our lives. Can you give me an amen? Amen. Amen. So today I'm just going to bring you four things, just in the last few minutes that we've got, four things that I believe that God has more for this year, that God has more for. And the first one is this: we're going to be believing for more for you this year, more for you this year. I'm believing that the year ahead we were going to see some unprecedented things. And as we step out in that conviction and that belief that God has for us, I am believing and we will be believing that you're going to see breakthrough in your life like you've never seen before. That Ephesians 3:20 scripture that God desires to do more than you can ask, think, or imagine. We need to ask, think, and imagine. Come on, we need to start believing. We need to board that plane. We need to take our ticket and we need to get on that plane to believe for that healing. We need to get on that plane and we need to believe for that restoration in our family, that our marriage will just look different at the end of this year than it did at the beginning of this year, that God has a new thing for us this year like we've never experienced before. Isaiah 43:19 says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And I just feel right now to say, if you've just come here in the last few weeks, maybe you just started coming to this church in January or even just a couple of weeks ago, but you're choosing to make this place your home, I just get this sense of like there's this sort of mindset in your mind that you need to be here for a couple of months before you can actually go all in. You need to just settle in. You need to, you know what I mean? Like you need to settle in, get to know a few people. But no. You're part of this house. Let's go. Come on, just run with us now. Don't wait till March, April, May. Let's run now. Why not join a team now? Why not go to Connect now? Get yourself embedded in the house. We are believing for more for you and we're believing for more in our Connect groups. Now, let me speak into that today. Let me speak into Connect groups for you today. We talk about Connect groups all the time because we believe in the power of gathering big on Sunday and gathering small in Connect group. And if you commit yourself to only do that, your life will flourish and grow as you plant yourself in the house of God. Psalm 92 says, when we're planted in the house of the Lord, that you will flourish. You're not going to flourish in the house of the Lord if you turn up at 9 and you leave at whatever the time is when we finish, 10:20, and you just walk out the door and you never talk to anyone and you never form relationships and you never meet and allow God to speak into your life. You will grow and flourish in this house when you commit yourself to being here on a Sunday and a Connect group every fortnight when we gather big and gather small. These are the things that happen in Connect. You find community. In Connect group, that's where family is built. Connects are a place to be known. Come on, we all want to be known and to know, to love and serve one another and provide a safe place to grow and journey through life. Connects are a place of discipleship where you learn to grow in your faith, where that assurance, that internal belief rises, and then you start to be able to live out that conviction. You take that ticket and you get on the plane. It happens in Connect. Connect groups are an amazing place for you to discover your gifts. As you serve each other in Connect, you're activated in your gifts. So we're believing for more for you and we're believing more for our Connect groups. And today, I just want to highlight to you our Connect group leaders and our elders today. These are people who will pastorally lead you and encourage you in the house. And so I want to invite those people who are our elders to come up on the stage. That's Mark, Nick and TL and Steve and Jenny. Jenny's not going to come on the stage because she's a little bit restricted today. These are our elders. She's doing burnouts in the car park earlier. These are our elders. Now, our eldership serve Mark and I and serve the house, serve you. And we're excited for the year ahead and how God is going to work through us as a team. We're actually missing one today, Tracy Kelsey, who's in South Africa at the moment. We're your eldership team, and we're here to pastorally lead you as a campus. These are the people that Mark and I and Pastor Ken and Chrissy fully entrust. If you have a difficult situation in your life, you can talk to these people. You can come up to them on a Sunday, and you can ask them to pray for you. You can share what's going on in your world, and they will confidentially speak into those situations and pray for you and support you. This is what our eldership do. We get around and we pray and we believe for God to do more in you, more for you. And these are an incredible, incredible team. We're going to pray for them in a moment. But I also want to highlight to you the next layer of our pastoral team, which are our Connect group leaders.
And so Connect Group leaders, you're in the room. Can you just come stand down the front here alongside Jenny on the carpet? She wants some friends. Come on, Connect leaders. These are some of our Connect leaders. Awesome. We have 14 adult Connect groups in our church this year. And these are some of them, and some of our elders are as well. These are the people that you can journey with and do life with. Mark and I have seen the gift of leadership and pastoral care on their lives, and we've released them into that space. But we also know that there are more. There are more pastoral leaders in this church who are going to care for, disciple, open up their homes for you to grow in the house of God. That there are significant things that God desires to do in our Connect groups and in your life as you come under the covering of this house. And so we're going to pray for our Connect leaders. We're going to pray for our elders now. And I just want to invite you to extend your hands right now all across this place. We just thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this eldership team. We thank you, Lord, for Mark and for Steve and for Nick and Tina Louise and Tracy. And God, we thank you for them. We thank you for Jenny. Lord God, we thank you for this team, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you would anoint them. And we just thank you, Lord. And I just see this team. It's like David had his mighty men. David had his mighty men that would take shield and sword and go into battle and would break down the strongholds and would bury the enemy. And so today, Lord God, I just thank you for this team, Lord God, this eldership team who are going before us, who are going to break down strongholds, who are going to take out the enemy, who are going to set us up and carve the way for the rest of us to follow. And so we thank you and we praise you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you for every Connect Group leader who is standing at the front. And I just thank you, Lord, for the anointing upon them to lead and to pastorally care for and to look after the people who are part of this campus. And I thank you, Lord, in their homes and the places where they gather, that there's going to be great discipleship that takes place in those places, that belief is going to go deep into people's hearts, and that people are going to start to live out of that place of conviction and walk in the supernatural power of God. We just thank you, Lord Jesus, for the outpouring of your Spirit on each and every one. We thank you for this team. And we pray, Lord God, that you would anoint them afresh. And Lord, I just thank you. Yeah, I just thank you, Lord, for every person who's going to gather to their Connect leader. Not just the ones who are in Connects right now, but the ones that are to come. And I just thank you, Lord, for new leaders being raised up. I just thank you, Lord, that when we do this again next year, we're not going to be able to fit them across the front. I just thank you, Lord, that there's going to be such a rising up of leaders in every place and every space. And we pray and we declare these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give God praise. Let's give God praise. Thank you, Lord. You can make your way back to your seats. Thank you so much. Two more things as the band is coming up. We're believing God for more. More for you. We're believing God for more in our Connect groups. For the leadership in our church. And we're believing God for more in prayer. We're believing God for more in prayer. James 5:16 says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Do you know that your prayers are effective? Do you know when you pray for your kids, when you put them to bed at night, that prayer is effective? Do you know that when you pray in your car on your way to work, that prayer is effective? Do you know that as you pray for your family, as you pray for your workplace, as you pray for this city, that prayer is effective? That it doesn't just fall to the ground. It's not just words floating in the air, but this word effective conveys this idea of something that is active in producing an outcome. When we read the book of Daniel, it says it's Daniel prayed for the city of Jerusalem, that the angels had already started going to work, that they were in battle, they were moving, and that they were happening, that they were being effective and active and outworking the outcome of that prayer. Today we need to believe for more. We need to believe for more about the power of prayer. there are things in our hearts and things in our lives today that have never been submitted to God in prayer. And he's asking you today, just bring it to me. Let me go to work. Let me be active in that space. Come on, we don't need to wear a face before God. We don't need to cover up. He sees it all anyway. He knows all your dirt anyway. You might as well bring it before him and let him go be active. Let him be effective. Let him get to work. And the other thing we're believing more for this year is we're believing more for the next generation. We're believing more for the next generation. You know, we are in the perfect position to steward a move of God in our kids and our youth and our young adults. God is already moving in our next generation. In our kids, they're encountering Jesus. They're seeing things in God that some of us have never seen. They're understanding the word. They're going deep in discipleship. We're seeing things happen in our youth ministry that are powerful. I was here Friday night. God is moving in our youth ministry. Our kids and youth leadership and their teams are discipling a generation of passionate young people who are going deep in the word and are chasing after the things of God. You know, you don't have to be 30, 40, 50, 60 to live a life of significance in God. You can be 5 years old and you can be living a kingdom significant life. You can be 15 and living a significant kingdom life. That's what we believe, and that's what we know God's heart is for the next generation. But another reason we're so perfectly positioned for a move of God in our next generation is because of the older generation that exists in this church. We have a faithful, fired up older generation. Come on, we celebrate you today as well. We wouldn't be here without you. And if you're 35 and over, and if you think, oh yeah, I'm 34, I've dodged that bullet. No, you haven't. If you're 35 and over and you're part of this church, then you're not only positioned here by God for you and your family, but you're positioned here for the next generation. You're positioned here to welcome them, to encourage them, to build them up, disciple them, pray for them, share your decades of faith and wisdom with them and how God journeys with you through every season of life. They need to hear that from you. They need to be encouraged by you. We are perfectly positioned for a move of God in our next generation. Perfectly positioned. You see, God has more for you. He has more for our connect groups. He has more in the place of prayer. He has more for the next generation. God has a heart to move in us. We just need to get our ticket and get on that plane. Come on, Nations Church, Port Kennedy. It's time for us to board the plane. It's time for us to not just believe, but put our beliefs into action to live out of a place of conviction.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Port Kennedy.